Verse 3 to verse number 8. Romans 12, verse 3 to verse 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray. My Lord, I thank you for all that has been done in this place, Lord, and for the song that we've just heard, and how, Lord, you love us when we are not lovable, and you sent Jesus Christ to die for us, even though there was nothing in us worthy of it. But Lord, we thank you for that grace. We thank you for your great love, for your great mercy. And in your grace, in your mercy, you changed us. You've done something to us. But Lord, help us this morning to have a clearer understanding of the work that you've done, yes. But also, Lord, how we are to think, how we are to think about ourselves. And I pray that our thinking would be transformed. And as we read last week, that it would be, that we would not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. May our minds, Lord, be renewed in your word. Father, change us this morning, I pray. If there is anyone struggling with their own relationship with you, again, Father, we ask, open their eyes, help them to see. Help them to see Jesus and all that he has done and all he is. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. 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 Good. This past week, we began this message with Romans 12, 1 and 2. We began the series, that is, and we saw how that we're not to be patterned after this world, to cut our lives after this world and let the world's thinking and the world's values and the world's ways influence our lives as God's people. Instead, we're to be transformed into his way of thinking, into his values. And that transformation comes through the Word of God. In this section that we're looking at today, though, Paul basically talks about how a renewed and transformed person thinks about themselves. How do you think about yourself, your character, who you are, who God has made you to be, your abilities that God has given to you? How do you think about yourself? We're going to take a look at a couple of ways that people have tendencies towards, and I want you to evaluate your life, evaluate your thinking. Is it in line with truth? Is it in line with God's word? First of all, we see that the transformed mind thinks soberly. Soberly. Again, verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So the renewed mind thinks soberly about itself. And that soberly means neither overestimating or underestimating your own importance, not placing too low a view on the situation or too high a view on our situation as redeemed people of God. Soberly. The word sober, everyone knows this word sober, I hope. But sober is the opposite of intoxicated. It's the opposite of intoxicated, or the slang word stoned. It's the opposite. Anyone who has seen some guys who have been overly intoxicated, had too much to drink, they know how they can behave. And it's not always a pretty picture. Sometimes an overly intoxicated person act as if they are capable of performing some incredible feats, incredible heroism, incredible macho prowess in what they do. But in an actual fact, to the sober person, they are acting like idiots, right? You understand what I'm talking about? Sober, intoxicated, sober. So we've all seen perhaps examples of how unsober minds overestimate themselves. And in the process, sometimes they can get very hurt in doing so by their foolishness. I've also seen people who are intoxicated by other things in life. And by the way, the Bible does tell us, don't be intoxicated with wine. Don't be controlled by wine, but be controlled by the Spirit of God. Don't be under the influence of outside sources, but be under the influence and control of God's Spirit in you, God's Spirit working in you. But I've seen people who are intoxicated by other things in life besides alcohol or other substances. Sometimes just having a sense of power over other people is intoxicating to some people. Just see someone who's perhaps have gotten a promotion, and they start behaving like they suddenly are the most irreplaceable person in the office, and they lord it over other people, and they're intoxicated by their own power. And it's intoxicating to them. And they get this feeling of greatness. The Bible is telling us to think soberly. Don't think in this way. Don't live in this way. But I believe a lot of people have the opposite problem too. They think perhaps very much too little of themselves. You see, intoxicated minds, they go through these periods of ups and downs, don't they? They go through this time of intoxication when they're just very full of themselves and think they can do anything, but oftentimes that crashes later. And then they're overwhelmed with very bad negative feelings, negative thinking, taking themselves down and diving into a deeper depression. And so the cycle continues because they don't want to stay there. And so they are intoxicated again. And up and down this goes. But Paul says that we as Christians are not to think of ourselves like that. We are not to be intoxicated with all the exaggerations or with all the negativity that comes with that, but to be sober, sober-minded. And by the way, just a brief sideline on this controversial topic of Christians and drinking. Christians and drinking. For some reason, this is one question that often gets asked. Can a Christian drink? Yes, Lewis, I see you're drinking again. In church, no less. But can a Christian drink? Lewis is addicted to his coffee, and everyone knows it. And the short answer is, yes, of course, Christians can drink. It's not a matter of can. It's a matter of should. And we always encourage our people and encourage, our pastors and our leaders, avoid it. Why? It's not worth it, and we can live without it. And we also live in a country that is very much has many problems associated with drinking. And as Christians, we don't need to be a perpetuation of this kind of a culture where there's so much harm, so much damage done. And once in a while, someone says, well, Pastor Ken, you drink coffee, and that's a stimulant. And yes, I admit I also drink coffee. I enjoy my cup of coffee. However, I have yet to find a family or a marriage that has been ruined by coffee drinking. I've yet to find someone who has killed people on the road because they drank too much coffee. It just is not on the same par. But yet, the same cannot be said with the use of alcoholic beverages. Christians, think about it. Think about it. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about wisdom, all right? And what is the wisest thing? What is the gracious thing? What is the helpful thing to do for others around you? Others who may not be able to control things like you can. Be gracious with others as well. Think about others. Think about testimony as well. But back to sober thinking. Thinking soberly about ourselves, not overestimating our grandeur and importance, not diving down into the depths of despair and depression, but a sober mind, a mind that is focused, a mind that is transformed in its thinking because it is fixated on the Word and what the Word has to say about us and to us. The only way that we can be sure we're thinking clearly, accurately, soberly about ourselves is also what Paul here calls the measure of faith given. He says that we ought to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And yes, we're talking also about the faith that has been given to us in salvation, that we have that faith in our Lord, in the gospel of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us, that we have not earned that, we are not worthy of that. We understand our position, but also the rest of the passage goes on referring to the grace that has been given to us in the form of these gifts that have been given to us. And mentioned here are some seven different gifts. It does not refer to the amount of faith you may have, as if someone with greater amounts of faith in God can think more highly than we ought to of ourselves. It's not about how much faith do you have? Well, you can think really highly of yourself because you have a lot of faith. No, it's about the faith that God has given, the faith that He has revealed to us. The rest of the portion gives that clue of the measure of faith and what it is. God sovereignly distributed gifts as He has given to us for the purpose of benefiting and edifying the church body itself. But as we understand these things in our mind of who we are in Christ and what He has given to us and how He has blessed us, we also kneel humbly. It humbles us because we have acknowledged that we were sinners and we are saved by grace. There is nothing that we look to in ourselves and puff up with pride and say, aren't we pretty special? We are humble before the grace of God. And as people who are one of many members of the body, of His body, a team that is working together under His direction, rather than just individuals going it alone, and we're capable of doing great things in our lives without God. But in humility, we see we are part of God's family, we are part of His body. We are members of the body that He has placed us in, and He has gifted us to be a useful member of that body. We are humble, though. The Christian life calls for a great deal of humility. There is no place for pride in the Christian. A Christian who is proud, you have to at least question their understanding of the gospel. A Christian who is puffed up with pride, you have to question, do they really know what the gospel is about? Do they understand what the Bible says about us? Because if they truly did, there is no place for pride. We must be humble. Jesus spoke of a man in Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Take a look at this passage with me. Luke 18, verse 10. Jesus spoke. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. Okay, so Jesus here is speaking to a group. He speaks of two men to go to the temple to have a time of prayer. One is the Pharisee. He's a religious leader, a religious ruler. He's a respected religious person of the day. The other is a tax collector. They were treated with contempt. They were looked down upon. They were frowned upon. They were scum of the earth. They were viewed as, If there was an epitome of what a sinner looks like, this tax collector is it. in their minds. So we have a high-respected religious person. We have the epitome of a sinner. They go to the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood up and prayed thus with himself. I think it's interesting it says he prayed thus with himself. It doesn't say he really prayed to God. But he prayed with himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. That's a great way to start your prayer, isn't it? God, I thank you I'm not like other people. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I'm sure he prayed it loud enough so the tax collector man could hear too. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So he's touting his own goodness, his own merit. This man, did he understand the need for the gospel? He hadn't understood it. Is there pride in his life? Absolutely. Can you imagine this? And we look at this and we chuckle about it, but yet I believe some who claim to be Christians have this similar attitude. They don't voice it in such a way as this. They wouldn't do that. Jesus is giving an example here that is perhaps what we call exaggeration to make a point, but yet we might not voice it in this way, but yet it's here. It's here. We look down on other people, and in our hearts we say, man, I could never be like they are. I'm sure glad I'm not a sinner like they are. I'm doing a pretty good job. I'm doing all the things that a Christian should be doing. And pride creeps in. Pride takes over. But a transformed mind thinks soberly. Jesus had an attitude of humility. And when he was confronted by Satan in the wilderness, he was tempted to focus on his power and his glory, to be intoxicated by the vision of all his kingdoms that were here on earth that could be his if he would simply do something that Satan had told him or tempted him to do. But Jesus thought soberly. He judged himself and the life that he had to lead according to the gospel. He knew that those kingdoms Satan was showing him, it wasn't a real thing. And so in order to live in accordance with the gospel, Jesus chose a life of service that would lead him ultimately to the cross. And then we're told to have a similar thinking in our mind. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, if anyone had the right to think highly of himself, it was Jesus Christ. But he humbled himself and became to be a servant of all. So next time you find yourself full of yourself, next time you find yourself thinking too pridefully about yourself and who you are, your accomplishments and your abilities, your faithfulness to God, your service to the Lord, to the church, remember that Jesus humbled himself and that you are saved to be a servant. You're saved to be a servant. Likewise, next time you're really down on yourself, remember that the Son of God values you. He loves you. He gave everything for you. Let him be the one to encourage you and lift your head up. God loves you. Think soberly. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, but don't also disparage what Jesus Christ has done for you. And secondly, we see first a transformed mind thinks soberly, but secondly, a transformed person sees himself as part of the body. Verse 4 of Romans 12, once again, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. He's giving a picture here, and I read from this passage at in 1 Corinthians at offering time. It describes it even more and says that, you know, the eyes can't say to the ears, you know, I can't hear, therefore I'm not part of the body. And the ears can't say, I can't smell, therefore I'm not part of the body. The body needs everything to function. Each one has its own uniqueness and its gifting. And the Bible describes the church in this way. The church is described in many ways in the Bible. It's described as a building. We're part of this building. Jesus Christ is that cornerstone. He's that foundation that sets the building in place. And we are the bricks of that building, assembled the way He wants them, put in place to build up this church. The church is described even as a plant where Jesus Christ is the vine and we're the branches. And we're part of that and we abide in Him. It's described as the bride of Christ, where the church is described as a beautiful thing that the Lord loves, and He's the bridegroom, and He died to save her, and He's coming back for her again. But here it's described as the body. And we Christians play different roles in the body, fulfilling different functions, exercising different gifts. As Christians, we share a lot in common, a lot of things we have in common, but there's also a great deal of room in the church for people to be different, to do things in different ways, to have different areas of expertise and ways of approaching some things about our common life together as Christ's people. There are seven gifts listed here in this passage. And we're not going to go through each of these seven gifts one by one. That's not important because I don't even believe this is meant to be a complete list of the different kinds of giftings that God gives to people within the body of Christ. But let me give you an example of something that could happen in the church, in the body. Listen to the example. A young couple in the church finds themselves in big financial difficulty, owing a lot of money. What would you say is the most important thing to do? I'm not going to give any more specific details right now, but just know that a young, and this is fictional, I'm not pointing to anybody, but a young couple is going through some financial difficulties, owing a lot of money. What should you do? What would you do? Listen to these different suggestions and think about it. Number one, pray with them and promise to keep praying. Keep praying for them. Number two, bring over some groceries anonymously to their house and leave it there. Three, arrange for some one-on-one help in handling finances. Four, arrange a meeting with a pastor or a leader of the church to discuss how they can best be helped. Five, put your arm around them and ask how they're feeling and if they'd like to talk with you. And lastly, arrange with your life group, perhaps, to take a love offering over to them. Okay, so you heard them. I'm going to go through them again. What I'd like you to do is to think of the thing that you think is most important. What is most important? In fact, I'll even go so far as to say you can vote for the top two things most important for helping this couple, or what should we do about this couple. Pray with them and promise to keep praying. Who would say, yes, that's where I am. I think that's important. Good group. Bring over some groceries anonymously. Anonymous grocery givers? Okay, you know, you got two things here, okay? Some of you are putting your hand up. How about arrange for some one-on-one help in handling finances? Got a number of you guys, a few of you. How about arrange a meeting with a pastor or leader of the church to discuss how they can best be helped? Who would like to do that? got a few of you saying, yes, let's arrange for a meeting to discuss that. Put your arm around them and ask how they're feeling, if they would like to talk. Anybody want to put an arm around them and ask how they're doing, if they would like to talk about it? Got a few of you guys. Now, so you got to vote on something, okay? You're the body, do your part in the body, okay? How about arrange with your life group to take a love offering over to help them? Got any love offering life group givers, peoples here? Okay, a few of you. Okay, did everybody put your hand up about something? Some of you, I think, put your hand up about everything, and some of you, I don't think, put your hand up. Maybe you have some other idea in mind that would be helpful. Maybe your thinking is along something else, but the point is all of these things are important. All of these things are important at least at some point along the way. Perhaps in the first instant, the person most needs someone to put an arm around them and show God's mercy to them and give them some encouragement. And then they might need some practical service provided by people to come and be a help, lend a hand, and giving financial assistance. And at some point, they need the help of those who can teach them what the Bible has to say about this situation and encourage them to do things differently. So all these things are important. And we all have different giftings. And we should use the gifts that we have in the body of Christ. The important thing to draw from this exercise and from the passage is that if our minds are truly renewed and not being squeezed or patterned after this world, then we will do two things. First of all, we will use the gifts that we have. Use the gifts that you have. And each of us have an ability of some sort or another, something that is worthwhile to contribute to the body of Christ in the service of the whole body. We won't use our gifts as a means of puffing ourselves up or showing off in order to get a reward or recognition. We will use our gifts to the extent that is necessary to serve the body. And Paul says those who exercise their gift should do so cheerfully, not begrudgingly, not patronizingly, but with a true and genuine desire to help. So the first thing that a transformed mind will do is use the gifts that you have been given. But secondly, a transformed mind will honor and respect the gifts of others rather than being arrogant about what they have or being arrogant and ridiculing another person's gifting. It means that we will be glad about the variety of gifts, the differences that exist, and none of us will belittle the gifts of others or the contribution that they make to the church body, to Christ, to the growth of other believers and Christians. By the grace given to us by the Lord, do not think of yourselves more highly or more lowly than you should, but think of yourselves with sober judgment. Verse number 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or in ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Stand together for a few moments. Bow your head and close your eyes. And I want to invite you to take some time to respond to the Lord in prayer. And yes, if you would like to come and have a time with the Lord at the front or pray with somebody, we invite you to come forward. If you would like to talk with someone, just ask. But this is a time when we just respond to the Lord as He speaks and ministers to our hearts through the Word. And as we look through this Be Transformed series, ask yourself, are you thinking as a transformed person thinks? Or are you thinking like one who is conformed to the world? One who has patterned himself in the world's ways? Has there been pride working in your heart, in your life? I urge you to confess it to the Lord, repent of it, and leave it. Leave it today. There is no place for pride in a believer. We walk humbly before the Lord, before others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. He became a servant of all. He had every right to be served, but he came to serve, to the point of offering himself as that sacrifice, as that atoning sacrifice. That's our Lord. That's who we model our life after. That's who we want to pattern ourselves after. That's who we want to be conformed to. As a member of the body of Christ, do you use the gifts that you've been given? Do you honor and respect the gifts of others around you? Are you a part? Are you a part of the body of Christ? Do you know for sure that your sins have been dealt with? That your sins have been forgiven at the cross of Christ? Do you know these things? If you do not, if you are unsure, I urge you to trust the Lord today. As God speaks to your heart, as he brings a conviction in your life, I urge you to come in faith, respond to him and say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you in my life. I ask you to forgive me today. Forgive me of all my sin. I want to follow you from now on. Would you do that? A few moments as the music is quietly playing in the background. Would you come? What is the Lord speaking to you about this morning? I invite you. Come. I invite you. Pray to the Lord. Call out to him. Call out to him. Lord, we are thankful for all that Christ has done for us, for the example that he came and he gave to us, that he became a servant of all. Thank you, Lord, for loving us when we were not lovable, while we were sinners, and he died for us. He paid the price for our sins. He was that atonement to make us at one with our Creator God. We thank you, Lord. Help us to leave this place with that attitude, with a humble heart, with a servant's heart, and be willing to use the gifts that have been given to us. We thank you, Lord, for your grace to us. And may we serve others with this humble spirit and attitude. May we think soberly about ourselves, not more highly than we ought, not to think the lowly negative thoughts, but may we think, may our minds be transformed through the word. May it be conformed to our Lord and Savior. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat, if you would, for a couple of moments. We have some announcements we want you to hear.
Pastor Ken for the message this morning. And for some announcements, if you have your bulletin, just turn on the inside pages and take a look under the announcements and the notices. You'll see we have a new members class. That's today at 10 o'clock. So if you're a part of the new members class, if you've been coming to IBC for some time and you're not a member of the church, but you would like to be, then see Pastor Ken about that, and he'll let you know what's going on with these classes. Today at 10 o'clock is when that is. And then also our Thursday Ladies Bible Study, that's at 1 o'clock on Thursdays. And if you'd like to know more about that, ladies, then you can see my wife, Gina, and she will give you all the information about the Thursday Ladies Bible Study. For our missions and our missionaries that we're praying for, continue to pray for Steve and Lynn Spohr in Vanuatu. That's our missionaries that we support there. And then, of course, also, as JoJo mentioned earlier, our missionaries in Fiji, the Manis, and then just praying for Fiji in general, that that the Lord would restore them. But even through such a difficult time, that there would be many people coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Also, our other missionaries whose letters we put on the missions board in the back, and you can read those. So just take a moment and read those sometimes today. And then, of course, continue to pray for one another. Pray for those who are going through some difficulties, and pray for those that you know need your prayers this week. We have the Overcomer Support Group tonight at 5 o'clock, from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. So if you're a part of that or would like to be a part of that, come out tonight. And the Overcomer Support Group, helping people. Actually, when I say helping people, we're all kind of helping one another, because it's we're all going through difficult things from time to time. And so it's a good time to come and pray and hear an uplifting message from the Bible about helping and going through difficulties. I think that's all the announcements that we need to make, other than taking some time with making the announcements for birthdays and anniversaries before we have our Sunday school. Anyone celebrating a birthday this week? Anyone that has a birthday today through this coming Saturday? Or if you were not here last week and we missed you, anyone with a birthday this week? Any birthdays? Anyone with a birthday? No? How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone with a wedding anniversary this week? Wedding anniversaries. Well, I know one. Gina has a wedding anniversary this week. So she can come up. I get to give her a chocolate. Well, no, Pastor Ken's going to do it. He's going to give us a chocolate. Let's all stand together. We'll sing.
All right. I'll lead in this one. He doesn't have to lead. Yes? Offering for Fiji? Okay. If you would like, I'm just being reminded, after we're finished, there'll be ushers with red bags. If you'd like to give to help with a Fiji offering this week and next week, please do so. So let's sing Happy Anniversary at this time. Happy anniversary. God bless.
Are we going to share one?
Do we no. You can have one of you.
Oh, we can have our own.
Bless you. Happy anniversary to you. How many years, Mike? 30 years. 30 years. That's well done. Congratulations. Let's be dismissed in prayer, have some fellowship time together, and get ready to study more of the Word of God. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you that we are your people. Lord, that you have saved us. You've set us free from the bondages of sin. And Lord, you've also called upon us to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. May we be faithful at that. May we continue in that. May we look to you for strength and grace, your power to do it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are now dismissed.